This is the Generation Example Podcast.
But we want to talk about college. Now, this is an interesting subject because inherently, you know, the Bible doesn't really talk about college. Most of you guys probably realize that. So, but I want you guys to go ahead and feel free to ask any question you guys have about, you know, as Christians, how does college play a part in our lives? You know, how should we be approaching the topic of college, and what really can we do with that? So as you guys begin to text message your questions, I see a lot of you guys go ahead and doing that now. I want to introduce our panel guests. They're going to come on up, and they are going to help answer these questions. So panel guest number one is, come on up, Laura Chan. Everybody give Laura a big hand. Come on up, have a seat. Panel guest number two, he's all the way in the back. Where are you at, Charles? Charles Lowry. Come on up, Charles. We all know Charles. And we have a very special panel guest number three, our very own teaching pastor, Pastor Herman. Come on up. Everybody get up, Pastor Herman. Nice. You guys come on up. Let me, we got to say, okay, so what we're going to do is I just want to give you guys a brief minute, introduce yourself, and give us, you know, in 1 minute why this subject is dear to you or why you want to be up here answering the questions. It's kind of an overview. So we'll start right here with you, Charles.
All right, well, I'm Charles, and the reason why, hi, who said hi, hi? Hi, that whole section, hi, all of you. The reason why I feel like it's necessary for me to at least answer the question because I kind of went through this experience when I left for college. I went to start off at the University of Arizona, and you know, coming out of Abundant Life and moving off to college, it was a little bit difficult as far as making that transition into going to a place where you've never been before, didn't know anybody, and, you know, you have all these people coming at you in different angles, both physically, spiritually, everything. So just having that transition and kind of when I came back, it was just a really life experience that I'll definitely never forget. And so that's why I feel like I'm, I guess you could say qualified. I don't want to say qualified, but that's just those experiences alone made me want to come up here and just share with you guys about it.
Thank you, Charles.
Thanks. Two reasons for me. One is that college was the place that God used to literally change my life and put me on a trajectory that made it possible for me to be here talking to you guys today. Without college, I wouldn't be here. And there's a longer story to that. I'm sure we'll get into it through some of your questions. And then secondly, I'm here because I had an off weekend and I didn't have to preach, and I've been trying to get up here to spend some time with you guys. So this gives me a chance to come out and hang out with you guys because I get to be your pastors too. So God be praised.
So I'm Laura Chan, and I'm excited to be here. One of the reasons for me college is really special is that's where I came to know Christ. At Stanford my freshman year. So I grew up Catholic, and I remember my first day in Zapata, my freshman dorm on Stanford campus. I brought my Bible from confirmation from the Catholic Church, and it had not been opened. And my roommate's mom made a comment about my Bible, said, "Wow, you have this Bible, that's great." And I thought, uh-oh, I have a roommate that I don't know about this. Thank God I had that roommate. That roommate's church family and family had been praying for her roommate. And so I came to know Christ January of that fall. So it's very special to me, college. More stories, but maybe later. And then the other reason why it's dear to my heart is I'm currently at Stanford as an assistant director, career counselor at the Career Development Center. And so I meet with a lot of undergraduate and graduate students and young alumni who are trying to figure out what to do with their lives. So a lot of the video that we just saw, I was a little humorous in terms of what am I going to do with the rest of my life? That comes up a lot. So near and dear to my heart, college.
All right, awesome. Okay, Jessica, how are we doing back there? Are we ready? She's back there processing all the... go ahead and flip us over on the... here we go. All right. Question number one, here we go. How do you hold on to faith in college. So how do you hold on to your faith while attending college at the same time? That is a great question.
Well, I think the first thing is to establish a church home there. One of the things that when I was leaving to go there, the things that was very beneficial for me was someone from my church home, my previous church home before Abundant Life, one of their relatives was actually living in that area. And so one of the things that they were always telling me was, you know, hey, make sure you get in touch with them because they go to this church and you'd be able to go there and you know, you'd be able to get something to eat after church and interact with them because, you know, it's all about eating food after church. But I mean, I'm serious. It's all about you got to be spiritually fed and then naturally fed. So it's, but just the whole idea of having that establishment of going, having a church home, kind of like a home away from home, so that you don't get disconnected spiritually, it's very crucial, especially at the age that you're going into. You know, me being 18 at the time, it was like I'm on my own. I feel like I can do whatever. And you know, I kind of sort of did the opposite, where it was, you know, I was told, hey, you have this person here at their church. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then it comes around. You know what happens? You say, I'll do it, and then you don't. And you know, it's always one of those things where I remember a story when I came back. I ran into that same person, and she's about as old as my grandmother, and she gave me that grandmother look like, you didn't talk to that person, did you? And I was like, no, but I did go to church though. She was like, no, that's not. It's all, but like again, it's all about having that establishment of establishing that church home away from home, so that you don't feel disconnected, so that you can stay on track with what you're doing, so that you can take what you've learned from here and apply it there, as well as learn more as well. So,
anybody else want to add that? We'll go to the next question.
Let me just say one word about it. In addition to establishing a church home, what helped me was that I had a personal relationship with Jesus prior to going to college, and I was closer to Jesus than anyone else in the world. And just, you know, very quickly, I spent most of my growing up years in special education. I think we call it special needs. I was a special needs kid all the way through till eighth grade, and then I had a very tough ninth and tenth grade year. But I had a dramatic encounter with Jesus Christ in the 10th grade, and I essentially asked him to change my life. By the time I got to my senior year, he had radically changed my life. That was the only way I could go to college, was in 2 years, he changed my life. So when I landed on the college campus, the one that I knew most, who I knew I could trust, who wasn't going to lie to me, wasn't going to use me, you know, wasn't going to put me out there and embarrass me just to have people laughing and making fun, was Jesus. And I remember the first day I walked onto the college campus, and I walked on as a scarred kid. And when my grand aunt and them left, you know, the first thought that came to my mind is, I'm a college kid, right? So it was, wow, look at all those pretty girls out there. And I'm scarred. How am I going to go out there? And I remember I'm talking about a personal relationship. I remember dropping to my knees. The only place I could turn was Jesus. And I said, Lord, I said, look, I said, what am I going to do? And I said, would you please just cover me with your Shekinah glory and cover over all of my inadequacies? And I remember feeling like something just draped over me. And a sense of courage came in me in an amazing way. And I got up and walked out that room and never looked back. So Jesus was my absolute best friend, and I sought to maintain that all the way through college.
Amen.
A couple of things. Look for student groups on campus that encourage your walk with the Lord. In my case, it was InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and I would go on retreats, do manuscript studies. It was wonderful in terms of support. And then the other thing I was going to mention is find support in staff and faculty who you come to find out may also have a relationship with Christ. There's a senior this year who I've been working with since she was a freshman. And when she came in, Actually, it was last week because the freshman just came in recently, so she was back already. And it was so fun to talk with her and see what God has done while she's been overseas and all. But to be able to have someone who's staff, faculty, to be able to mentor, pray with you, and just to be able to see her growth and to be able to ask how she's doing spiritually, and for you to be able to have that wherever you are on your college campus would be great. And I want to give a quick example. We just had a freshman who's going to be at Stanford over to our house for dinner, and I was so impressed. He had already researched the churches in the area, and he knew PBC, he knew MPPC, because we were starting to tell him a little bit, and he already knew them. I think he probably knew more about the backgrounds of the churches than we did. And he had already checked into some student groups. So that's one thing that you can be proactive about before you even go to your college campus. With all of the social media that's around, you could even look up and see what's available and what's already kind of catching you, what's God kind of bringing up in your heart and stirring in you that you want to go check out maybe at a student activities fair when you get on the campus.
Great, great answers. All right, Jessica, go ahead, hit me back. What's the next question? There it is. Is it bad to go to college that isn't Christian? Is it bad to go to a college that isn't Christian? Another great question. What do you guys think?
You know, because I didn't know the Lord before I went to Stanford, that wasn't even in my mind. I just wanted a good education. And my family, it was like, it wasn't a question of whether or not I was going to go to college. It was just assumed, just like you go to grade school, you go to high school, you go to college. There was no, am I going to go or am I not going to go? I was going. Now, we had to figure out how that was going to happen, financial aid and otherwise. And I actually had my heart set on Notre Dame, but I didn't get in there. And you'd think, I didn't get in there, but Stanford had a place for me. God had a place for me, and that happened to be Stanford. And it's so incredible to see it because I'm like, well, why didn't I ever get into Notre Dame? And I think it was that essay. I just didn't get that book I had to write an essay on or something. But just neat to see how God really had me at Stanford. So in thinking about, you know, is it bad? No. I mean, that place that God's calling you to needs you, needs your light there. And there are going to be people there that you meet that God had wanted you to meet. And it's not necessarily going to be your spouse. I thought it might be after my freshman year, but it wasn't necessarily at Stanford where that happened. So you do not need to think about that it has to be a Christian college. In order, God's going to call you where he wants you to be. And if it's Brown, Harvard, if it's a community college local, God is going to use you wherever that is in a big, big way. And I think about some of my best friends. They were college roommates. And God has used them in my life. And in fact, a few of them even go here to Abundant Life now. And it's just incredible to see that we started back through InterVarsity and now we're here. So God will use you wherever you go.
I would like to say the majority of the colleges and universities that are around aren't really Christian to begin with, or they don't have like a, you know, either it's a Jesuit or a Christian college or seminary of that nature. So, no, it's not bad. You know, it's not a thing where, oh, you're going here. All right. You're automatically going to hell because it's not a Christian. It doesn't say Christian or, you know, anything around it. Like that's not just like Laura said, it's just about the experience and, you know, for us, like growing up, it wasn't that choice of whether or not if this college is Christian or not. It was whether or not you're going to actually go. And so, you know, I think this is more so of this the experience of college and as opposed to being whether or not if it's a Christian, if it's bad. So I guess to answer that question, at least for me, I would say no. It's not bad to go to a college that's not considered Christian.
Yeah, and some of those Christian colleges, you know, they're not any different, to be honest.
Some of those Christian colleges might be actually worse than the actual colleges you go to.
That's real.
So
that's real.
You never know.
All right, next question. Good question, though. Next question. Is it okay to party in college? What do you guys think about that? Is it okay to party in college? Who wants to?
Define party.
Oh, yeah.
Well. First of all.
Was that you, Marsden? I'm just joking.
I think It has its moments. I think if you don't let it take over your actual focus as to why you should be going to college to begin with, like in Blimey Cow, you didn't go to college just to party. You can do that outside of college. But understand that your whole idea to go there is to get an education to help you in whatever career that you choose. As far as partying goes, those are going to be there, like I said, even if you don't go to college. But it's okay, but use discretion when doing that, because, like I said, you don't want it to take over. There's a prime example of that is a friend of mine that in college, we were freshmen, we went in there, and there's a picture that pretty much defines his whole freshman year of college. And he had a PlayStation in one hand and a Corona bottle in the other. And that defined his whole freshman year. There was a class that we did have. It's like, you know, it's kind of like in college, you get to choose whatever classes you want to go to, the time you want to go to, and all of that. The teachers are not really on you like they are in high school, where, you know, you get those letters sent home or those phone calls saying your son or daughter missed class today. You don't get those in college. You just see it at the end of the year when you look at your grades and they're like, okay, you're on probation. You're now officially disqualified, but we still take your money. But it's true. I mean, it's true. But for him, it was like, we would be like, all right, we're going to take this class together. We'll be fine. We'll be cool. And so, you know, you start missing classes. You're like, all right, it's okay. I'll make up the work. And then next thing you know, it's got behind. And the next thing you know, he wound up either having to drop the class or he fails the class because he spent more time partying and chilling out than actually going to class. So as far as parties go, you can party, but use it at your discretion. Like, keep it limited to a minimum. It's hard. It's difficult. I'm not going to say it's easy because there's normally a party every night and definitely every weekend. But who said woo? But but like I said, please use it at your own discretion.
So I would say the freshman dorm I was in, El Centro, boy, did they threw a good party. And it was more about dancing. We just had such a good time. That was back when there were the records that you scratch, you know. They did some good DJing. And so at our 20th reunion, we had Donovan there with the records, and he was scratching, and we were like, all right, we're going to start. So that, to me, was a party, but that didn't involve the alcohol in the dorm that I was in. And so just to be, you know, that just was not a part of even my growing up. And, you know, I didn't grow up, you know, born-again Christian, but that just wasn't a part of what I found fun. And so to be able to, but I really enjoyed the dancing. And so, again, what is your definition of the partying? But I would say if it could be minus, you know, the alcohol or too much of that, you know, it's a lot better because you know what went on that night. And then the next day you can say, you know, I had a lot of fun and I remember what happened at the party. And we had some really good times. So that's what I would just say is just keep out the drugs and the alcohol out of the parties. And then you can really remember and really enjoy the friendships that are going on that maybe God's bringing into your life. And you can even be a witness. So again, just really, you know, be prayerful about, is this, you know, tonight do I need to study or do, you know, am I going to go to a party and have a good dance? And at Stanford, they're actually having these equally alternative non-alcoholic events. And one that I saw is they're doing kind of Friday nights on Wilbur Field where they'll show a movie and have equally attractive alternative beverages. And so, you know, there are things like that on college campuses. So it doesn't just have to be, you know, the frat parties with alcohol and feel like you're being left out. There's probably some other people just like you who are looking for a good party, but maybe it's without the alcohol or drugs.
Yeah, there was a number of root beer kegers I went to when I was in college. And I'm serious, it was a lot of fun. So
let me just add very quickly, as relates to the part, I used to love to go dance and hang out too, but I stayed away from the alcohol and drug lace parties. And here's the deal: you just should know this. I mean, if you go to if there's a party that got tons of alcohol and drugs, that's a design setup. I mean, that's with a purpose in mind. And that's just like you're providing alcohol and drugs for fun. That's how it's presented to you. But, you know, guys are bringing their girls to those parties because they hope to get you sloppy drunk and high so they can have sex with you, right? It's a setup. So you know, if you can find party where you don't get set up, if I can just use that as an image in your mind, because part of navigating college is making sure you don't get set up, taken advantage of, and used, and then left like a candy wrapper on the floor for people to walk on.
Mm. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. All right, next question. What are some ways to stay focused on God in college? What are some ways, a similar question, but what are some of the ways that we can keep our mind focused on God?
As I mentioned before, being involved in a student group on campus, I was actually more involved in the student group than an outside church more my freshman and sophomore year, just because it was the proximity with classes and all, knowing that I had friends, and then we had our weekly night that was just a lot easier to go to than trying to figure out where to go to for church until later, junior, senior year. Then I got involved at the Vineyard of the Peninsula. And then there were older students who could then drive to kinship groups and things like that. So being involved in a student group where you can get in God's Word, go and hear the teaching, have some student leaders and adult leaders who can speak truth into your life. A lot of times they would ask, and maybe ask you to go to breakfast and talk about what's going on in your life. I needed those role models in my life, and I think that helped me stay focused on God. And I don't think the Word really came alive until after college a lot more, but definitely getting together with people. So when, or even just asking them, maybe some of the workers, staff workers, if maybe you could hang out with them sometime. But that's really staying focused on God, I think, could be helpful.
Definitely, what Laura said, staying with the group during the week. I remember one time in particular, there was a group that was at a church on campus, and they would always be standing outside your dorm. At the time I was in the dorm, they'd always be standing outside your dorm. And, you know, they'll say, hey, how you doing? How's it going? And, you know, for me at first, I was like, I never seen this before. Like, why are you outside my dorm room? What is going on? Or outside the dorm facility? Like, what's going on? Like, trying to figure these people out. And, you know, as you get to know them and start being associated with them, you kind of had, they had little Bible studies here and there. And even at times when I didn't feel comfortable, there was one person in particular who was co-facilitating the Bible study, and I just wanted to meet exclusively with him because I just felt like for some reason there was a trust level that was there to where, you know, if I had questions or things that I wanted to talk to him about or wanted to go over the Bible with, you know, he was more than available to do that. And but it was just that association that helped in my development, because it was just a time period where, you know, when you're away from everything and you're away from your family and you're away from your church, you're vulnerable. You're really vulnerable to everything that goes on in the world. You're really vulnerable to even yourself, because you're like, you just start questioning, like, I don't want to do this. Should I do this? And so it's always, again, like I said before, having that level of consistency and that really helped in continuing my spiritual development, and having someone that's there to talk to ask questions about, so that you can increase your faith. But definitely having meeting with him and also taking part in the Bible studies that they would have during the week definitely helped in just continuing my spiritual growth and spiritual faith.
Jessica, how many more questions we got? More than five? Four more? Okay, let's go. We got a few more minutes. Let's see if we can do these a little faster.
Can I just say very shortly?
Yeah.
Can everybody say 15?
15.
All right, 15 minutes. 15 minutes a day. Just put it in your phone. You name it. When you get to college, in the morning, after lunch, 15 minutes. Say 15 minutes.
15.
If you can spend 15 minutes a day with the Lord, you're going to be spending with a whole lot of folk. But if you could identify 15 minutes every day that you slow your life down, you get somewhere by yourself, and you say, Lord, I just want to hang out with you. And maybe pick a book of the Bible like the Gospel of John and just read four or five verses, put your little journal, say, Lord, let's talk. And just say, just 15 minutes a day in addition to what we've heard.
Yeah, thank you. All right, next question. Why should I go to college? Why should I go to college? So You want?
I think yeah.
So first of all, if you want a good-paying job, it's helpful to have an undergraduate degree, sometimes even a graduate degree. If you look at job descriptions, many of them require that. Just as the base, like just a bachelor's degree, it may not even be in a specific area, but many jobs do require that. If you want to go check out job listings, I think I was always meant to be a career counselor because I would look at job listings whenever I was in high school, and I would just like look and see what were the jobs out there, and you know, went on in college, and I remember many of them require college education. So that's the first reason why you ought to at least consider college education. If it's not something that's encouraged in your home, then look for folks in the high school, in the level of high school, that might be that encouragement for you. Because maybe you've had it in the back of your mind, or maybe God's been stirring your heart to want to go to college, but maybe that's not something your family talks about a whole lot. Really encourage you to meet with your college counselor. I think about the number of students I meet with about their career, and there's a lot. It's the ones who come back and want to talk again and again that I start remembering their name and I want to inquire and send them an email. So it's similar in high school. You probably have a few counselors for a lot of students. So make yourself, you know, available and go and meet with them and ask them questions and maybe email so that you're in their face, not in a negative way, but that they will want to, you know, maybe even mentor you or ask you, okay, well, what are you thinking about this? And this, so you'll get the support that you need if you are thinking about college. But that's really gives you more opportunities for later. It's not like you can't get a job now just being a high school graduate. You can. But if you have aspirations to want to do other things later on that require a graduate degree, then you need that basic undergraduate right now. And then you can go on to graduate. And even if no one in your family has gone and gotten a college degree, you can be the one that is the first one to go and do that and break that barrier.
I just said that I was the first of multiple generations, first in my family to go to school.
How many of you guys know for sure what you want to do in life? What do you want to be? Name some things. A creative author, okay. A teacher. Graphic artist. Who else? Child psychologist. Pretty much all those things require some level of education, one form over another. And that's why it's crucial, because it's not one of those things where you leave high school and like, bam, congratulations, you're now a child psychologist. Go talk to this kid. And even then, if I'm that kid, I'm like, I don't know what kind of experience you have. I don't know what background you have. I don't know if you even authorized, who's taking care of who here. It's like a blind leading the blind. But most of the things that you guys have, at least from what I've heard, they require a form of education of another. You get to learn and understand the things that to help you in that. For example, as a teacher, you get to learn and understand the different, whatever specific course you're trying to be, whether it's a math teacher, science teacher, you have to learn chemistry, biology, all those things. They don't just say you're a science teacher here. They, you know, sometimes they put you in a specific class in math, whether or not if it's algebra, if it's trigonometry. Those are all different levels of math in that one category. So that's why it's very crucial in terms of going to college, so that when you have whatever career that you are deciding on or trying to choose from, you get to see the level of things that you need to see so that you can be very knowledgeable in it. I mean, who wants to go to a doctor who was not certified? I didn't think so. So that's why it's very important to go to college, or at least one of the reasons why, so that you can be educated in the career path that you decide to choose.
All right, we got time for one more question. So just give us one last question, Jessica. Will God get mad if while in college you look into a new religions? Will God get mad if while in college you look into new religions? What do you think, Pastor Herman?
No, I think that you know, college is a place where we are challenged to investigate, research, to learn. You're gonna take religious. There are gonna be courses that are just built into your general studies, whether it's Western humanities, comparative religions, or et cetera. I think that's fine. I think learning about other religions is part of learning about the broader world. It is my hope that you can learn about other religions, and as you learn about other religions, that will help you to learn what's most distinctive about your religion, mm-hmm. about your faith, what's unique about your faith, what's unique about, you know, just one example. Most other religions is about trying to find a path to God and to prove that you're good enough for God. Christianity is the only religion where God finds a path to you. He comes through the person of Jesus Christ. And he looks for you first to tell you how much he loves. He dies so that you might be saved. In other religions, we sacrifice to demonstrate our love to God. In Christianity, God sacrifices to demonstrate his love to us. So sure, study and compare, but at the my hope is that your, this is why I keep coming back to this personal relationship, right? At the end of the day, you've got to know Jesus Christ. And my grand aunt said this to me, and she's so true. And I was probably a sophomore. She said, and I was 10th grade in high school. She said to me, she said, "I'm not going to always be around for you." She said, "You need to know Jesus Christ for yourself, because he will never leave you nor forsake you." About 5 years later, she was gone. She died early of cancer. But she was right, because in those 5 years, I got to know Jesus Christ for me. And that makes all the difference.
All right. You guys, let's give it up to our panel. You guys, I want to encourage you, if you had a question that maybe didn't get answered or it was sent back and for whatever reason it wasn't up here, there's a number of volunteers, staff in the room. So if you guys have any further questions, you guys want to talk about anything, please come to us. We are more than happy to talk with you. I'm going to close this in prayer. I want to encourage you guys. There's some donut holes left over. You guys can go ahead and eat that. There's some food in the back. If you guys want to polish that off, you guys are welcome to. Let's pray, and then you guys will be dismissed. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we were able to just speak, Lord, on this just neat season that a lot of us are preparing ourselves to go into, which is college, Lord. It's a time in life, Lord, where it's a time of discovery. It's a time of finding out who we are and who you are, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for this group of young people, Lord, as they begin to prepare for that journey, Lord, that you would see them through the process, Lord. I thank you for our panel and for their time they have given us, Lord. We ask, Lord, for those who have come, Lord, who are still struggling this week with home life with parents, with school. I know there's tests, sports, the stress that goes on, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we move forward, Lord. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Thank you guys for coming.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.